Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 20 through 26 as we conclude this wonderful chapter. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another awesome day that you have given us. We thank you for this wonderful time of worship and praise unto you. But Lord, we know, Lord, the times that we live in, and it's very serious now, God. So Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Are You a Vessel of Honor? Are you a vessel of honor? You see, now I understand and comprehend the movement that's taken place in California through Franklin Graham Association, Samaritan's Purse Organization. Right now, God has sent them forth to this state of California, and there's purpose behind it. Yeah, we saw some souls stand up to get saved, praise God. But the theme of the outreach is this, that there's going to be an initiative this year to ban the Bible. To ban the Bible. That means you cannot speak the Word of God. They will basically apprehend you. And they will confiscate your Bibles. And you will also do jail time if you speak against the things that God says is an abomination. So my question tonight is, are you a vessel of honor? Will you walk in honor? Will you say, I don't care what the state says, I don't care what the government says, I care what God says. Can I get an amen? Hey, I've shared this before. If they apprehend me for preaching truth, then God has prepared a jail ministry for me. Can I get an amen? Because I will preach in there as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so we are not to walk in a spirit of fear. We are to walk in a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And God has equipped the saints to walk in honor, to walk with integrity. And one of the things that I have seen in the church today is that a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors, they're falling from grace. And why is that so? It's because they left the Word of God. They're not preaching truth no more. And so the way to stay sanctified and walk in honor is you have to preach truth. Can I get an amen? And sometimes the truth will hurt. Sometimes it'll cut deep. But sometimes we need the Word to come in deeper than our surface of the flesh, right? It has to go down into the bone and marrow. And this is why the Word of God says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. That's where the preaching of the gospel needs to hit. Can I get an amen? It's got to go deep. It can't be surface. When someone truly gives their heart to Christ, you have to allow God to sanctify you. Amen? Man, you got to give them all your junk, man. When you come to the cross, you got to lay everything down, man. You know, I'm struggling with cigarettes. I'm struggling with tobacco and alcohol and all this pornography. Lay it at the cross and let Jesus take it. Can I get amen? But you got to let God sanctify you. Why? Because there's purpose in walking with honor. So let's look at verses 20 through 26 and allow the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to take us tonight. Amen? So the Word of God reads, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, and some for honor, and some for what? Dishonor. Oh, Word of God lets us know that there are some things in church, unfortunately, takes place that dishonor God, or it wouldn't be mentioned in the Word of God. Amen. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So, in verse 22, Paul the apostle wrote to Timothy, and he said, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. That's what God is looking for. Did you know that God sees all the he sees all the surface things that we want everyone and want him to see, but he looks right into the heart. He's the real Superman. He has X-ray vision. He sees the motive, the intent of our heart. Guess what? He even sees behind closed doors what we do and what we and how we honor God. You can't get away from God. He's everywhere at once. And so flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Listen, there's some folks, they will argue with you all the way to the bitter end. Just walk away. It doesn't edify. Can I get amen? It does not. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. Amen? Be slow to speak. It's easy to bark right out and get into their grill. Verse 25, and it's done in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Do you catch that? There are some folks that desire to be angry, desire to be bitter. And until God grants them repentance, they're going to still stay in that state. God has to give them repentance. God, in other words, God has to show them their sin. You can tell them all their sin all you want, and their heart will still get hardened and hardened and hardened against you. God has to give them that heart to repent. Because repentance is a gift. Did you know that? It's a gift. And it only comes from God. Hallelujah. Only he can give you ears to hear and eyes to see. Hallelujah. You can't do this in the flesh. There's some folks, I'm telling you, man, you wonder why. Man, why do they still hate me? Why do they still have bitterness toward me? I already forgave them. You know why? Because God hasn't granted them repentance. That's what the word says. And humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know what? The truth. Being angry, being bitter is not walking in truth. You're walking in a lie. You're walking the devil's path, and we're going to look at this. In verse 26, and they that come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What? You know, all of us were in that camp. Did you know we were in Satan's camp at one time? Oh, come on. Come on. You didn't grow up goody-good two-shoes all your whole life? Come on. We all know that. Some of us were ruthless sinners. Some of us were, I hate to use the left analogy, but some of us were deplorable. What a word, huh? Oh, yeah. We were. We were walking, man, viciously. Come on. Some of us used to take bats, man, in gang fights and just bust people's head open. Come on. So none of you saw that, huh? I guess I'm the only one that saw that. No, we did. We walked. We walked in wickedness. Hallelujah. But God saved us. God gave us the heart to repent. Can I get an amen? So let's look at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, silver, but also of wood, clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. So saints, Paul, he changed his metaphor from a building to household utensils, but continued the same theme. In a large house, there are expensive utensils made of gold and silver and are used only in special occasions. In our house, when we were growing up, I kid you not, we had that big old giant fork and spoon on the wall. Okay, you didn't get that one, huh? My dad's from the Philippines, so they hung that on the wall. I go, man, is anyone got a big enough mouth to put that in? It's huge. But Paul uses this metaphor of utensils, gold, silver, and special occasions. Other utensils made of wood and clay are cheap and for everyday use. Again, Paul makes the distinction between commonly useful and uncommonly useful workers of God, pointing out to Timothy that both will be found in the church. So there'll be people that love to serve God and honor God, and there's some, man, I can't wait till the time for me to run out of here. Yep, it's time to go. Amen. I mean, we're a little church, but big. I came from a 3,000 attended church. I saw it all. I seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's in all churches. So don't think this church is perfect in any sense. And don't think that you go somewhere else and find the perfect church, because as soon as you get there, you invite me, it's no longer perfect. As soon as I walk in, it's not perfect anymore. Again, Paul makes the distinction between commonly useful and uncommonly. So let me just say this. In the spiritual, God uses the same metaphor. Look in Corinthians right up here. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Meaning, Jesus Christ is the what? Chief cornerstone, right? So the apostles and the disciples, they continue to build on what Jesus established way back 2,000 years ago. So now, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. You could build any kind of foundation, but we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the truth. We're talking about the word of God. And so we have to be careful how we build upon that. Can I get an amen? Let's go to the next verse. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, notice the D. It's not just an ordinary day. Today's just another Wednesday. D is the day of the Lord, when he shall appear, and he will judge and rule and reign. So that, and then some call it the terrible day of the Lord. It's terrible for those who are not walking with Christ. It's going to be an ugly day. It's going to be a fearful day. The book of Revelation says, men, generals, these billionaires, they're going to say, hide us and let the rocks fall on us from the Lamb of God, because they're going to see God so giant, and he's going to crush them underneath their feet. Wow, the day of the Lord will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So let me just say this. Many of you, God has blessed you to be in types of ministry. Here, God has blessed me to the pulpit ministry. Some of you, other type of outreaches and what have you. Make sure your agenda is pure at heart. And there's nothing to it. Yeah, in other words, there's not a conniving spirit behind it. What's in it for me? It's got to be selflessness. Can I get amen? You got to give yourself to Christ. You got to just lay it down, and you got to be pure before him. Because he will burn everything up and see what stands. He's going to check out every agenda, every motive while you're doing it. It's got to be pure, and it will become clear. Let's look at the next verse. If anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So there's a reward, but you got to, number one, endure, and you got to operate in pureness of heart. Can I get amen? Look at this. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Meaning, if there are some things, hidden agendas, doing it for all the wrong reasons, he's going to burn it all up. It's not going to even last. He's not going to even remember any of it. So be careful on what you tell people. Oh, man, God did this, God did that, God did that. No, you just got your reward. Just be humble about it. Can I get amen? God uses you. Praise God. Be humble about it. Look at this. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be. Praise God that he doesn't burn everything up and then tosses you away. See, here's once again. This goes against the Arminian doctrine. What's the Arminian? They believe, man, that you can walk away from grace and be lost once God has saved you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because God, when God adopts you, he seals you. Can I get amen? But you got to be born again. You got to have the Spirit of God living in you. That's the key. It can't be just a simple prayer and then, oh, I'm saved, and you still go home and live like the devil. No. Saved means God has sealed you, man, and you had a spirit, and you got the joy of the Lord, and you're following him. Hallelujah. Until he comes back for us. Can I get amen? Look at this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. What? I looked at this two ways. If you look at it in the Greek, it's two ways. If someone comes against you, God will get that person without you even opening up your mouth. God will hunt that person down. Because if God has a plan for you and God is using you until he comes back, the gates of hell cannot prevail. But there are some folks who know the grace of God, love of God, and then they go out there and they blaspheme the name. And once you know the truth, and to go back out there like a dog eating up his own vomit, God will have to destroy the flesh to save your soul. Because you'll bring a reproach to the name of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Once you know the truth, walk in it. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. Are we going to stumble and fall sometimes? Are we going to, you just cry out, repent, and God will declare you righteous before him with a pure heart. Can I get amen? But those who remain out there and know the truth, and now they're leading others to corruptness. Oh, come on, man. Let's go blaze it up again. Man, now you're bringing a reproach. That's why God's word, don't mess with God's word. Can I get amen? God's word is true. Look at verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. Aren't you so blessed? How many want to receive a reward? Okay, stay pure before him. And when I say stay pure before him, it doesn't mean mistake free. You're wrong. We're going to make mistakes. But he's looking at the heart. He's looking at, man, God, I fumbled the ball. God, help me. Help me pick up the ball and continue to cross the goal line. Help me endure, God. God will help you, but you have to have that mind to say, God, I need you every day. Every day I need you. And if you think you could operate on your own strength, think again. That's when that person is ready to do a face plant. Bam. Then here comes God with his spiritual spatula, scraping you from the tar pit. Let's go to verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. See, that's the key. It's God, cleanse me, wash me. Lord, forgive me for even thinking those thoughts. Did you know our thoughts are wicked? How many times have you got on your knees to spend time with the Lord, and as soon as you hit your knees, man, these thoughts come out of nowhere. Then the dog starts barking, the phone rings. Oh, come on. This person hasn't called me in ages, and here I am trying to pray. I'm telling you. There's a real spiritual realm. Can I get amen? Amen? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's the key. That's the key right there. And you say, God, cleanse me. Wash me. Don't let my eyes see evil. Can I get amen? And these eyes can fall into a trap quick. Why? Because the flesh... Did you know that there's a war against the spirit and the flesh? The flesh don't want to be saved. I hope you know that. It don't. Flesh don't want nothing to do with God. But the spirit of God that's living in you sanctifies you. Hallelujah. So there's a battle. Did you understand that when you got saved, there was a battle now? It's on. Before, there was no battle. You was in the enemy's camp, running with the devil. So Paul may have been emphasizing the individual's believer's moral purity in order to fulfill the role of God, because God has chosen him or her to be used not only in the church, but to be used mightily at home. Can I get amen? Because that's where the order needs to be. If the home is out of order, guess what? The church is out of order too. You got to get your house in order. Can I get amen? Have it in order. This most likely, saints, refers to personal inward cleansing from involvement in False teachers. Now, there was a whole bunch of false teaching back there. And guess what? There's false teachers today. Can I get an amen? Listen, when they try to shake you up upside down three times in a service for every penny, something's out of order. Man, there's something wrong. There's an error here. Amen? I never heard it said like this, but sheep that are being sheared? My goodness. When I heard that, I said, I used to think it was called fleecing the flock, but it's shearing the sheep? My goodness. Wow. So, so people who desire to be used by God must be cleansed from what? Sin. And then keep themselves pure by refraining from contact and activities that could soil them. Listen, if there's people that you know, I don't care if they're relatives, I don't care how close they are, but if they're walking in deep sin, you continue to hang with them, that sin is going to jump on you and contaminate your spirit. I've learned, you know what? Did you know, I'm going to say this in the most loving way I could, but I find my church family closer than my blood family. Can I get an amen? My church family, I'm closer with them. Why? Because we have the same spirit. We have the Koinonia spirit. And we understand our faults and failures. We understand that we're pressing toward the prize in the call on Christ Jesus. We understand that. But our blood relatives, they don't get a clue. They don't have a clue. They look at you, oh, you need it, church. I'm glad you're going to church. You needed God. And we want to lash out and say, you do too, but you know, we humble ourselves. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean that we're to be isolated from the world, for sin's all around us. Can I get amen? It refers more specifically to involvement with those whose goal is to lead people away from the faith. And there's folks that just, they have no desire for God. And they'd rather be out there in the world. And they'd rather lead others astray. Those are the folks you got to just cut ties with. Can I get amen? And pray. You just pray for them. How many people have you witnessed and testified to, and yet they haven't moved an inch? And they still do what they do. That's when you know, I've said already enough. I'm just going to pray for you now. Amen. Because let me just say this. You sowed the seed of righteousness in their heart. Only God now can either water it or give the increase. You've done your part. Can I get amen? Amen. Cleanse people who stay away from corrupting influences can be used for God's purpose and are then ready for the master's use to every good work. So how much more powerful the church of God would be in all the world if believers were all cleansed utensils ready for the master's use. Man, we would turn this world upside down. But there's only a handful in every church that truly gets it, that are walking in the anointing. Yes, I'm talking about every church. There's a handful that love the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't know who they are, but God knows who they are. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have to understand, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that keeps us. How many believe that the Word of God keeps you? Amen. The Word of God instructs us. The Word of God, hallelujah, leads us. Hallelujah. To the grace of God. Look what we see here in Ephesians right up here. Look at this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So you just wake up one morning, I'm going to get saved today. Yeah, praise the Lord. No, he saved you. He called you. Look at this. Because it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Listen, anyone should boast. Man, we could all boast. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, I give my heart to Christ, man. Look at me now. No, we can't boast about it. Can I get amen? That's what God's word says. What purifies us, what cleanses us, is walking a road of humility. Walking a road of humility. Look at this. Lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He prepared this walk for your life before you were formed in your mother's womb. He saw it all played out already for you. So he gave you your own personal plan. It's all yours, and no one walks in that same plan. He prepared it just for you. It's tailor-made. And he's the greatest tailor. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he is. Now, look at Titus. Look how Titus talks about these kind of works. And this is why we have to walk with humility. Amen. Look at this. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, meaning teaching. Teaching of the word. Showing what? Integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Man, don't speak corruptiveness and don't walk in corruptiveness. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Listen, when you're building up someone, you're edifying, and you're praising God, the gates of hell can't come against you. But as soon as you put your tongue on someone, wah, 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 now you can be condemned for it. That's what God's word says. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. You cannot condemn someone that's edifying God, that's building someone up. There's no wiggle room. That can't come in. But as soon as people see you cursing someone out, oh, God forbid. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Can I get an amen? So when you're walking in the way and the will of the Lord, the gates of hell, nothing can say anything about you. Can I get an amen? So that's why the word of God exhorts us. Did you know we're bondservants? You know what a bondservant is? Well, we used to be slaves to the devil. But now we're slaves to Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? I'd rather become a slave of Christ. Can I get amen? You know why? Because his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Satan was a taskmaster. Man, he wanted you to get drunk all night. He wanted you, man, to curse. He wanted you to go in and out of bedrooms. He wanted you to die. That was a harsh slave master. But hallelujah, we are now dancing with the Holy Ghost now. We changed, hallelujah, dance partners. Can I get an amen? Look at this next verse right up here. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn. In other words, adorn yourself with the doctrine of God. Amen? Amen. Adorn yourself with the things of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. See, there's no more excuse. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Christ has come. And now we are the children that have been born through God. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that you're a born-again believer? Hallelujah. Sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, on fire for God. Hallelujah. That's how I want to remain. Can I get amen? Amen? Thank you, God. Look at the next verse right up here. Teaching us that denying. So there's something that you have to do as believers. That's right. What does it say? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, he's coming soon. Hallelujah. He's coming again. Can I get an amen? Why? Because he gave himself. Look at this. Look at this. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us for every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is why we preach on Wednesday nights. You know why? Because we need to be zealous about God. Can I get an amen? We need to be zealous about the word of God. Hallelujah. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. We can never be ashamed of God. Can I get an amen? Walk in his authority. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes even in leadership, you got to bring a rebuke. Not everyone's perfect. Not even the pastor's perfect. Can I get an amen? But if you can't receive a rebuke to edify and to correct things, there are some folks that, man, they'll just throw in the towel, I'm gone. And they take it to the next church. And they're still there wallowing. They're still there. Why? Because they took the same junk that was in the trunk over there to the next one. I've seen it so many times. Sister Yolanda is a witness to it. We came from Mission Valley. It was 3,000 people. We seen leaders that just came against the ministry, had their own agenda. And then when they got rebuked, I'm out of here. I remember what Pastor Leo shared with me. And it resonated in my heart ever since he said that to leadership. We were in leadership one day. He goes, if any of you don't want to be here no more, go now. Go now. Because you'll be a root of bitterness in the ministry if you don't want to be there no more. You just go. Man, that resonated in my heart. Because I saw people, wonderful people, but they had their own agenda. And they left with their own agenda. And this is what God is saying here. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Amen. Let's go to verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with all those who call on the name of the Lord with what? A pure heart. Saints, Paul knew Timothy very well from their years of travel together. And most likely he knew Timothy's weak spots in his life. Timothy was a young man, at least young, for the responsibilities he had to carry. So Paul offered no nonsense advice. Aren't you so blessed that Paul didn't give him nonsense advice? Man, he called it when he had to call it. Amen? Paul, man, I'm telling you. I can't wait to meet Paul in heaven. He's going to probably share some things with us that are not even written in here. Did you know the book of John says that there are more things written by John that were not included in the Word of God because it could not contain the whole Bible, what Jesus did. Wow. Man, we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. And so the youthful lusts mentioned here are not only just sexual, but also other passions, characteristics of the young, impatient, the contentiousness, favoritism, egotism, and intolerance, etc. All these things that he had to build up Timothy. Why? Because that church was going to be enormous. And he needed Timothy to be a man of God, a man of honor, that no agenda would get in the way. Can I get an amen? And so we read this in a couple chapters ago, in the first chapter. Look at this. Paul wrote, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, this is why it's ludicrous for someone to know all the righteousness of Christ and all the knowledge of the Word of God, and then to go back out there and live like the devil. That's why God has a harsher punishment for those. Yes, he does. And there's some folks he has to take out. Man. I know several. I'm not going to mention them up here. That died out there. God had to take them out. Because they once walked in the truth. And they threw it all away for the lust of the flesh. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And so, in a word, it expresses a way of life that seeks to model itself after God's direction. How many of you believe that you are being directed by God? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no other way now. Listen, we know too much. Man, there's no other life outside of Christ that's going to bring fulfillment and joy. Nothing. It may bring you temporary gladness and maybe a little happiness, but it will not give you eternal joy. Only the Spirit of God can give you eternal joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Can I get an amen? If you're walking in love, man, even the enemy cannot fault you. And when you love someone despite of how they treat you, it's like pouring hot coals on their hand. And they don't know how to contain it. They don't. Someone that really hates you with the root of bitterness, and you say, praise the Lord, God loves you. And they see the joy in your heart. And yet, inside of them, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen. Because they find, I find those people in bondage. So in spite of the individual challenge that Paul presented, he was not permitting Timothy to function alone. He was to find strength and encouragement in the companionship of those who call on the name of the Lord with pure hearts. These were others for whom he was responsible, but also he would see his peers and share deep and common desire to what? To be faithful. That's what it's all about, being faithful to God. So let's go to verse 23 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate what? Strife. Saints, while peace should be the norm amongst believers, how many would rather live in peace than live in a life of quarrel and strife and anxiety? And so we should not entertain false teachings to keep people happy. Can I get amen? Amen. There's some churches, and you need to pray for us, that we continue to uphold the bloodstained banner, amen, of truth. But there's some churches, all they care is about numbers. They won't talk about sin. There's people living in all kinds of bedrooms. There's still people, man, still dipping and smoking and cheating and doing all kinds of manners of iniquity, and they won't talk about that. They just want that basket to fill up. Lord, help us. We live in some perilous times. Can I get an amen? We need to speak truth, and we need to bring that conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what convicts. Can I get an amen? Amen. We read last week that the Spirit of God was poured out to bring conviction upon an ungodly world. Look at the state of our nation right now. It's falling away. It's falling away. You can't even speak the name of Jesus in the public school. They removed the Ten Commandments right now in the public square, also in the courthouses. It's gone. You can't speak about the name of Jesus no more. And now the initiative this year is to remove the Word of God. And the church is like this. Oh, what did they just do? Listen, when they make the Word of God illegal, man, I'm telling you, time is short now. And you better be ready to face jail, because we're going to continue to preach truth here. Amen. Let the feds come in here. I'll preach to them while they're coming to take me out of here. Go ahead. Take me. And sir, you too need to repent. That's right. I'll be courteous. I won't slander them, but I'll say, you need Jesus. And how many believe that even our law enforcement, majority of them need Jesus? Can I get an amen? There's some that are saved. Praise God. But here's the thing with law enforcement, and I thank God, because God instituted, God placed them there. A lot of them, man, they usurp the authority, and they take it into their own hands. So pray for them, that they make wise decisions. Can I get amen? I love my brother, my younger brother David. He's been in law enforcement all his life, I think. When we were kids playing, we were 6-7 years old. You know, I think me and G were a little older. We always used to play cops and robbers, and my brother David was always the cop. We were always the robbers. And he grew up to be a cop, 25 years. And now he's an investigator for the DA's office. I said, Dave, you're a sin sniffer, aren't you? He looks to capture the bad guys. I go, man. But I pray for him. I pray that God will watch over him. Because there's some folks out there, man, all they want to do is get back at you. And so we need to be careful in the days that we live in. Amen? Because we read earlier, look at this. We got to watch out who we listen. Whatever you're allowing your spirit to be involved in, I'm talking secular music. I'm talking about things that are humanistic. I'm talking about things that don't give God glory. Well, we're reminded here, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is from love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Man, there's some folks, man, that walk, man, under the anointing, and now they're not. Pray for them. Can I get amen? Pray that they return back, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Wow. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. How many of us, we need help in these last days that we live in? And look at this. It says, and if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the teaching which accords with godliness, then the Bible says he's just proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. You know what destitute of the truth means? Meaning you can see truth right in front of you, and you still think it's a lie. That's when God turns that person over almost to a debased mind, a reprobate. Look at this. Corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw. Man, don't even be a part of that. Amen? So let's go to verse 24. We're coming in for a close. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. Can I get an amen? Is God teaching you to be patient? Is God teaching you not to quarrel? Listen. I'm just going to say this in love, and this is speaking to all of us. But if your whole block hears you, something's wrong. It's almost like putting a megaphone. Wah, 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 wah. Something's out of order. If that's how we operate at home, can I get an amen? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. Thank you, God. You know why? Guess who was the perfect example? Who was the perfect example? Who taught us to live a life of humility? Jesus. And it was prophesied before his crucifixion. Oh, yes, look at Isaiah right up here. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than any sons of men. Next verse. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Let's go to the next verse now. Look at this. Who has believed our report? Isaiah, thousands of years before the cross, he saw this man of humility who would come to be the savior of the nation, to be the savior of the world. Jesus, look at this. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him and as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. You know what that means? When he was on the cross, He was so beaten. He was like hamburger meat on the cross. And you know, all the movies that we've seen, I think the most, probably the grotesque one that we've seen was, I believe, by Mel Gibson. What was it called? The Passion of the Christ. But they still had a terry cloth on him. The Bible says he was naked before all men. And they couldn't even tell his gender. Everything was ripped. His whole meat on his flesh was ripped and torn apart. You couldn't tell whether he was male or female no more. And yet he humbled himself at the cross for you and for me. Look at the next verse. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. It was for us. It was for you. It was for me. And yet when someone gets in your grill, what? What's up? He didn't do that. He humbled himself. Can we honestly say that we can be like Jesus? Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He had to take that whipping for us. Just imagine if God knocked on your door and you only had one son. And God says, it is your son I need to put on a cross. Man, that would crush your heart, wouldn't it? Your only begotten son. I only have one son. He lives in Arkansas. Man, just imagine if he says, I got to sacrifice him for the world. What? Don't you think it broke the Father's heart to send his only son? And did you know that God the Father, he had to turn his face from his son. He had to turn from him. Why? Because all of our sins were nailed on the cross. If that's not humility, I don't know what is. If that's not love for his creation, I don't know what is. He sent his only begotten son for us, for you and for me. And so, saints, the Christian who imitates Christ in this way will bear the experience of wounds as he or she attempts to relate compassionately to those who may strike out in hurt or anger. Some people like to quarrel because they've never been listened to before. When we demonstrate kindness, we may find openness where before there was only a wall of arguments. There's some folks that just need to see the love of God, the grace of God. Can I get an amen? As a minister of the gospel, Timothy did not have to quarrel with the false teachers. To quarrel would be seen as a need to come to a compromise. That's what they're looking for. All right, well, I can believe that, but you need to believe this too. You stand on truth. Can I get amen? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Thank you, Jesus. So we must demonstrate kindness. We may find those souls that really need to see the love of God. Can I get an amen? There could be no compromise between the gospel truth and the false teachers. Instead, Timothy should promote unity by being kind to everyone. The hard, sharp edge of the truth, saints, required the skilled hand of someone who could relate compassionately with others. Let's look at verse 25. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. My goodness. Pray for those. Amen. Pray for those who they try to walk the walk, they try to talk the talk, but inside, it's almost like they're filled with dead men's bones. There's no mercy and grace. We got to have mercy and grace. Amen. That's why in Thessalonians 3 and 6, it says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith, Look at the report. Faith and love that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Let me ask you this. Is there people in your life, they're so glad to see you? Or, oh my gosh, here they come. Close the blinds. Muzzle the dog. We're not home. Man, if you walk into someone's presence, they should be happy to see you. You know why? Because they will know that all that comes forth is something good, something pleasant, something edifying, something to build up. They're going to know that I can trust this person because this person walks in character. That's what God is conveying tonight in this message. Can I get an amen? And so we look at the last verse. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare. Did you know that the devil wants to entrap you? Look at this. Snare of the devil, having been captive by him to do his will. Satan will lay traps in your house. In your own house. Saying, succumb to their senses could also be translated, return to soberness. In other words, the false teachers have gotten drunk with the result of losing their senses and getting caught in the devil's trap. Satan is at the root of all false teachings. And he's also in the division of the church. He knows the strength of a unified church and he fears it. Did you know that when you're walking strong with the power of God, the devil fears it. But when he sees leadership bickering and trying to run things their own way, this is where he wants to get a foothold in there. Oh man, let me cause them to have strife. And then if I could get one to wall up a root of bitterness, I got them now. That's how the enemy works. Instead of walking in humility, instead of walking in love, and yeah, sometimes my wife even tells me something to correct me. Why? I need it. It's not that because she hates me or because she wants to just nag at me. No, because she sees blind sides that I don't see. And a pastor that's walking under the anointing sometimes has to say something in love to help build you up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what we're called to pray for the sheep of God. But there's some folks, man, you try to bring correction. And they'll smack you upside the face and they will jet out of your life. And who's the root of all of it? Come on. We're going to close with this. In John 8:37. Look at this. This is Jesus talking to the religious folks. There's a lot of folks, they're religious. They're pastor so-and-so, elder so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Real religious. They play and walk a good talk, and they walk a good walk and talk a good talk. And yet, man, they defile the name of God. Look at this. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Jesus is talking to religious folks, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. All these people that were supposed to be men of the cloth. The poor peasant people looked up to them as leaders, as people that they could turn to. But they had no hope for them. Because my word has no place in you. Look at this. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. What? Well, wait a minute. Listen, when someone tells you this, it's a lie from the pit of hell. We are God's creation. But everyone that is not God's son or daughter, can I get amen? We're his created. We're his creation. But not the whole world is his children. Can I get amen on that? I got some word to back it up. Without the word, you can't back it up. And now this guy's talking out the side of his neck. Okay, let's go a little further. Look at this. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Jesus, remember, came from heaven. So he was up there with his father. Can I get an amen? Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And when they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I preceded forth and came from God. Nor have I become of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Before you go, hang on, before we go anywhere, I want you to catch this. I need you to catch that. Let's look at this last statement. No, let's go back. Let's go back. I don't want to go yet. Look at this. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't they comprehend? You know, that's true. The devil blinds us down here, yeah. But there's something deeper than this. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Why? Because none of them were born of God. None of them had the Holy Ghost living in them. And they were of the earth. Jesus came from heaven. So Jesus knows all eternity. He knows what's written in heaven. They had no clue what he was talking about. They were blind bats. They had no ears to hear. They had no eyes to see. Because they were unregenerated. They weren't born from above. Jesus had to come down. Can I get amen? Now this is where he really sticks the javelin in their mindset. Look at this. You are of the father, your devil. Oh, what? Look at this. You are of your father, the devil. Okay. Before we go any further, every one of us came from Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, guess what else came into the world? Sin and death. Okay. So we weren't born of God in the flesh. We were born of Adam and Eve. This is why our minds and our heart, the Bible says, our heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Why? Because we needed the Holy Ghost that would come from heaven to give us truth. And so that we can walk in the ways of God. We can't do this on our own strength. This is why people that go to church, they have head knowledge, they know the scripture, but they've never been born of God. Did you catch that? They know about God, but they don't have a relationship with him. It's like this. You can see President Trump on TV. Well, I know who he is. Okay, now he comes to your town, and you happen to be right in front of him. Hi, President Trump. Well, hello. He doesn't know you. You know him, of him, but you don't have no relationship with him. So there's a whole bunch of people. They know about God, but they don't have a relationship with him because they've never been born of God. This is why he had a problem with religious folks. They knew the word inside out. They knew the whole Old Testament inside out. And when he finally showed up, you're not the Son of God. They denied him. Why? Because he flat out told them, you are of the father, you're the devil. Let's go back. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Look what he says he is. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Watch out when you lie to folks. So he creates a trap. Satan creates a trap. And he uses money, fame, pride, feeling intellectual to draw people away from the faith and to false teaching. They are then laid captive by him to do whatever he wants. But there is no hope. Escape is not possible for them when they walk in that way. So, saints, Paul began this chapter with remarks about degeneration, conditions in society. How many believe that we need Jesus? How many believe right now that we need to be about our Father's business? How many of you believe that you need to be a vessel of honor in the times that we live in? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your power, your spirit. We thank you, God, that you showed us once again and you reminded us that you are the one that has delivered us. You're the one that has set us free. You're the one that allows us now to walk in the holiness of Christ. It is you, God, and you alone that has opened up our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit is now revealing to us. For it's been revealed from heaven. This is not an earthly teaching, but a heavenly teaching. For the Bible says your word is forever settled in heaven. Your word will not come back void. But what I love about your word is that it's filled with grace and mercy. Mercy for us. Mercy for those who you are calling to be saved. And Lord, we don't know who they are, but you do. And Lord, we don't know who's saved in the church. You do. But God, keep our heart in perfect peace. Keep our eyes always upon the cross. Let us not look to the left or to the right, but let us look unto the cross of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for Franklin Graham last week. He brought a message and he brought it like we bring it here. He was not afraid to call out sin for what it was. And there was 10,000 in attendance. Thank you for his boldness. Thank you, God, that you have raised up that man for such a time as this. And we pray a hedge of protection over him right now in Jesus' name. And so I'm praying for those right now who may not know the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And if you're here tonight or listening on the internet right now, I pray that you would just surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus. It's time now, not to play church, but be the church. You have called the church to come out from its sleep. And so let us be a beacon of hope, a light. And it first starts at home. If our home is in order, everything else will be in order. The church will be in order. The ministry will be in order. But if it's fallen apart at home, I pray for the homes right now where there's strife and anger and bitterness. Oh God, let there be reconciliation. Let there be love and peace. Let there be grace and mercy in the home. I pray for parents to raise up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so God, be glorified, be magnified, be high and lifted up. And if you never surrendered your life to Christ, pray this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. And we'll pray this prayer with you because we love you, Jesus. And we don't want to see no one perish, but that all would come to repentance. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, we will do our best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Well, he's worthy, 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 worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.